A very happy Easter to all of you, and I would greatly encourage you, let's keep greeting one another in such wise. It's beautiful to celebrate the great season of Easter. Just a little reminder, we all are super dialed in to the 40 days of Lent. We all get that, right? But also there's 50 days that we celebrate Easter, so I just encourage you to keep a good... Now, it doesn't mean just like stuff your face with as many peeps as you can get your hands on in the next 50 days, but all right, let's keep a good spirit of Christian joy about us, especially it's good to see all your bright, shining faces back. I hope you had a restful spring break. As we come to God's altar on this Sunday, you didn't hear me come here to hear me say happy spring break to you or whatever, all right? You came here to hear the gospel. And in the gospel, every second Sunday of Easter, right? On Easter Sunday, we hear the story of the resurrection morning. On the second Sunday of Easter, the summation of the great feast of Easter, we hear Easter Sunday evening when Jesus breathes on the apostles. He says, peace, breathes on them. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. The gift of the sacrament of penance, or the sacrament of reconciliation, or confession, as you may know it familiarly. How beautiful this is. This Sunday, of course, was declared by Blessed John Paul II to be Divine Mercy Sunday, in connection to the great Saint Faustina Kowalska, who was ordained actually on April 2nd in the year 2000, the first saint canonized in the new millennium, and a very recent saint, right? She died in the second half of the 20th century, so quite a recent saint who delivered this message from our Lord of divine mercy, which is beautiful and amazing and wonderful and new and also unbelievably old, because in essence, the message that our Lord was giving through Saint Faustina was, let the whole world know of my mercy. The same message our Lord is giving to the apostles, and not just message, the same power he is giving to the apostles on Easter Sunday. It's important to know that God loves you very, very much. It's important to share that message with people, that God loves them. But unless the message becomes a little bit trite, unless it becomes a hallmark, right? People have probably heard that phrase somewhere before, God loves you, somewhere from when they were a child. No, they have very likely, maybe not, so it's good to say it, but they have very likely heard that phraseology, God loves you. Jesus can say, peace be with you, all he wants to the apostles. He goes the next steps and conveys to them the actual power to know that love. He gave it on the Holy Cross. He gifted it in the Last Supper, and he strengthened it in the confessional on Easter Sunday. Let's always, when we are telling people that God loves them again, share the message. That's my encouragement today. Be bold about that simple message. It seems so kiddish, right? So childlike. Hey man, it's gonna be okay. God loves you, all right? Now who knows what that little phrase is going to, what reaction that will provoke, right? That's why you do it with your friends, I'll do it with my friends, and we'll all get there all together, all right? But then also know that when we tell someone that God loves them, we can point them to the real contact with that love, which is his sacraments. On this day, as we hear revealed to us through the sacred word, the breath of Christ, right? And understand what our Lord is doing, right? These disciples, they have been baptized. They have been given the gift of the Eucharist. It's been made real. It's literally poured out of Jesus on the Holy Cross. Now that just pouring out is given life in the power of his resurrection. They are in Christ. But Christ knows that the journey of life is going to be long sometimes. This is a direct connection to the Exodus of the Hebrews from Egypt, right? You all know the story from Exodus, or at least seen the movie The Prince of Egypt, okay? They're there, see it in your minds, right? There they are. They have been freed from slavery, but now they're on the edge of the Red Sea, and on the edge of the Red Sea, there's the sea they cannot cross on one side. There is the army of the Egyptians, right? The pursuits of the world that are pursuing them, that are going to destroy them. And they must pass through the waters. This is our baptism, the passing through the waters. The passing through the waters is not something we can do ourselves, right? A strong wind from the east has to blow on the waters to part the Red Sea. And you see how God is making all of these connections. If you know the very start of the book of Genesis, In the beginning, the Spirit hovers over the void. All right. Here, the breath of God splits the Red Sea. Jesus, the resurrected, right, who has given them the baptism of John and made it his own, who has shown them the remaking of the Passover meal before they walked to the Red Sea, right, who has paid the ultimate price to make it real and now shown him his glory, has to breathe on them to, as it were, the waters of their baptism is now parted to make the way to the promised land. So too for us. This is the confessional. God has breathed on his priests, and his priests breathe on baptized souls. You are walking through the waters. You're all so good. You're all so, I'd love to give you a great big hug, but that would take a while, so we're not going to do it. All right? You're so good and so loved and so beautiful. But the pursuits of the world come after you. I'm assuming that they come after me, and my guess is I'm not that terribly different from everyone else, right? The pursuits of the world, they come after us. And you know in the book, says, the Israelites, they despair. The Egyptians are going to destroy us. They give into, and we do that sometimes, right? God no longer has power. The world must have power. I despair. That's what we call sin, all right? And we need God, the Holy Spirit, to breathe on the waters of our baptism and part those seas so I can see the promised land once again. This is the confessional. We should love the confessional very, very much. And we should invite all of our brothers and sisters to love the confessional as well, especially those who are baptized. Right? God has a great and immense love for everyone, but especially those who are baptized. Invite them to make the act of faith in the sacrament of confession. I'm here inviting all of us in the church to make the act of faith in the confessional once again. Father Nielsen, I try to work super hard. There's confessions 45 minutes before every single Mass that is scheduled, which I think is at least fair, right? And if you yank us on the arm, you grab us on the arm, we'll happily hear your confession if we can. Right? So we want to convince ourselves. We also want to convince as many people, right? God loves you. I don't feel loved by God. Come to the confessional and you will see how much God loves you. Because people say, all right, well, let's come to the Mass and we'll see how much God loves us. And that certainly can be true, all right? But the Mass is the promised land. The Mass is heaven on earth. And if we say to ourselves sometime, boy, it's really hard to see the Mass as heaven on earth, that's a sure sign that we can grow in holiness. And one of the best ways to grow in holiness is to regularly make a good confession. That's why from the most ancient times, right, you can find this in the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 27. Right? Whoever eats and drinks the body and blood of the Lord unworthily must answer for the body and blood of the Lord. I want to do that, right? I don't want to have to be Pontius Pilate and have to answer for the crucifixion of Christ. If someone has committed a grave sin, meaning if someone has done a direct violation of one of the Ten Commandments, they must go to confession in order to receive Holy Communion. We must have the Holy Spirit breathe on us to part the waters of our baptism so we can see the promised land. See, that's what will happen. If someone has committed a grave sin and goes to communion without going to confession, right, their mind, right, their emotions are expecting to see the promised land and to receive all their graces. But as it were, the waters are closed. It's not that they're evil, horrible people. Right? It's not like we don't want to do bad things to our Lord. We want to see the promised land, but we can't, all right? And so our faith starts to weaken if we do that, right? And so if we are very humble before our Lord and always run to the confessional if we are in grave sin before we enter into the promised land of Holy Communion, watch what happens. I mean, I know it by theology. And by faith, I'm sitting there, I'm a junior in college doing all the same lame garbage that every other junior in college was. I wasn't that particularly bad, all right, just doing all the same stuff. I finally just get convinced, reading the catechism, all right, I got to go to confession. I kneel down in the confession, I just bleh out to this poor priest, all right. 42 minutes, I'm in there blathering on, all right. So the Holy Spirit took a while to part those waters. I remember that moment because only on rare occasions since that time has the Mass been so amazing. It was just regular old daily Mass. The priest was like 192,000 years old, and he was, you mean, just an old faithful priest, all hunched over, saying the evening mass, opening up heaven on earth. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see it. Oh my God, my Lord and my God, I can see. That's the invitation to every human soul. I'm not special, because there are a lot of people who have that story. And that story doesn't happen every day. I'm not like up for this sort of jack-me-up Jesus moment. But we want to see the promised land. We were made to see the promised land. The Mass is the promised land here on earth, and the confessional is the way that splits the waters. Blessed Jesus, convince our hearts of that very much today and every day. Oh, we don't have to go to confession every single day, obviously, all right. I hope, well, if you do, go, but if you don't, all right, you know. But when I do, when I become fearful and I despair, I start to doubt your resurrection in life. I start to doubt that once you were dead and now you are alive and you hold the keys of death and hell. And I cozy up to the world. Breathe on me. Convince my heart to be breathed on. Think of that moment, all right? Resurrected Jesus, whoa, all right? Now I'm going to breathe on you. That's weird, all right? You can be like, Jesus is going to get up close and breathe, all right? Risen Jesus, who walks through the door, Jesus. So if the apostles can do that, you and I can kneel down in a little box, all right? We can, all right, Father Nielsen and I are going to get up there and... I had garlic for lunch, all right, you know. see how intimate our Lord's contact is and how he gives it to us. What a beautiful thing. Holy Mary, help us to see these beautiful. This is why Marian devotion is so good. Mary helps us to see beautiful things, especially, right? And you know moms are like this. Moms can point out beautiful things where you don't ordinarily see them. Moms have that attentiveness, right? Hey, did you notice this? That's pretty beautiful. Oh my gosh, it is. All right, so Mary, let's ask Mary to help us. She points out beautiful things. Sometimes the confessional doesn't seem so beautiful. I confess the confessionals there a little dank, if the saying holds, all right? But Mary will show you the beauty in that, all right? Mary will convince us very much of the beauty. Sometimes at the Mass, it's hard. It's hard to see. Sometimes Father doesn't make any sense, and he sings the preface badly, and that's off-putting, and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's hard to see, right? Holy Mary, help us to see those beautiful things. Blessed Jesus, convict our hearts of your great gifts, the confessional and the Mass. And help us, right? And remember that first point. When we tell our friends that God loves them, and we should do that. It's a good thing to tell people. If they want it, if they say, prove it, say, come to the confessional. And you will know, right? And then you're not on for it anymore. Then God is on for it. And that, believe me, as a priest, that's a nice deal when God can be on for things. Let's be very convinced, blessed Lord, and help us to pray this Mass very well.